Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I am joined by Damian Bailey.
What's up?
Welcome to the Middleman Podcast, man. Yes, sir. Flex on them real quick, right?
No.
Flex on them real quick.
Okay. There you go.
Look at those. Damn, their forearm was huge. You know, oftentimes, you know, I tell people, like, I'd run through a brick wall, you know, and then they show me the brick wall.
And, oh, yeah. There you go.
And then I'm like, I don't know.
Call if my
I'm,
back that. My back is nicknamed the brick wall.
So no way, really?
That says, yeah, the brick wall.
Okay.
Because yeah, somebody gave me a nickname. It's like, wow, your back is like a brick wall. I'm like, that's stuck. So it's da brick wall.
I like that. I like that. So welcome to the Middleman Podcast, Damian. How you feeling? How was your week, man? I'm ecstatic to be here and just be alive right now, because it's been one hell of a week.
Well, I always tell people when I'm asked that I'm alive and beautiful. I believe in the power of words, so I always tell people I'm alive and beautiful, and that makes people smile. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's not the norm, and I like to have people smile. So I say alive and beautiful. They're like, oh. The only time they don't smile is when they're really dark and it's just like, whatever.
Agreed.
But,
agreed.
You know, words matter. And I am alive and beautiful at 46. I am alive and healthy. And, you know, I have God's grace to thank for with that. So
I like that. You know, I more often than not just say I'm alive. You know, maybe I will add the beautiful part because I'm stunning. You know, I'm handsome,
so
we are alive. We're beautiful. We're here. Right. It's been one hell of a week. I got a black eye here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's a long story, but let's just say St. Patty's Day was a blast.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah.
But we'll get into that later. That's like the tea time part of the conversation.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So on social media, Damian, as you guys can already see, Damian's pretty fit over here, you know, and you're all about fitness. Okay. And you're extremely passionate about it. So when did fitness really start to like grab a hold of you? When did you start gravitating towards you? You know, you said you're 46, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you've probably been in gyms and gyms and gyms for a very long time, correct?
Right. Yes. Two ways. I'll talk about how I started working out and I'll talk about how I got into the business aspect of it, because that was both was by accident. Mm. I don't know if I told you. There's two of me. I'm a twin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I'm an identical twin, and my brother started working out first. When he started, he was 15, and so he got his body a little bit quicker when he was about 17. At the same time, we were both diagnosed with severe scoliosis.
Mm.
So we had to wear back brace. He was tired of being made fun of, so he started lifting weights. And I didn't. So when he had his full, complete body, I was known as the skinny twin.
Oh,
he was
okay.
The big twin. I was the skinny twin. And, you know, I laughed it off a few until I got tired of it because I saw he was getting all the girls.
Mm.
And I wasn't. But but I got into it during a breakup. As most people do.
Very true.
A girl went off to college and I didn't. And she stopped calling me and upset about that. And I was heartbroken. And one day my parents were going to the gym and they said, do you want to come? I had nothing else to do. So I said, okay, I'll tag along. As soon as I got into that gym, Bally's Total Fitness, which no longer exists right now, The front desk girl, I was like, oh. I was like, okay, this is where I need to be,
because
mm-hmm. she was cute.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I stepped in, I saw all of these ladies. And my ex-girlfriend just went like that out of my head. And I said, this is where I need to be. And I started working out. My parents went off their way and I didn't know what from what. But as an artist, because I'm a comic book illustrator as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I saw the drawings on the machines. So I followed that as my template. I was like, oh, okay, this is how you do this with this machine and that. And they had a section of free weights. I wasn't going to even gonna step foot in that because it just looked dark. Waist was on the floor and I see all these big, huge guys screaming loud and whatever. And I'm like, my skinny self is not going in that room. So I'm going to stay where the machines are. And I did a routine. We were done. And I felt great afterwards. But what really got me to the point where I'm like, okay, this is for life. I got home that day and I was going to hang out with my friends. And I put on the Vince Carter basketball jersey. Mm-hmm. He was big at the time. Vince Carter Toronto's jersey. And I was waiting outside for my friends. And then I looked at a reflection of myself in the car. And I saw my first pump.
Mm.
And I said, oh, shoot. I said, this looks good. And I haven't stopped since.
Okay.
That was, I was 21, 22.
Wow.
And I literally haven't stopped since. From then on till this day, I haven't stopped since.
That's lovely, man. And that's pretty dope that you're actually a twin. You know, I did I did catch that in, you know, the videos on YouTube, you know, and I believe Chris is a twin as well, correct?
Yes.
That's
my wife.
That's so wild. Like,
and yeah, and I caught, oh, and I caught up to him. So I'm no longer, not only I'm no longer the bigger twin, I mean, the skinny twin, I became the bigger twin because I got bigger than him. Then he got bigger than me. Then he got, he gained more mass. So he's like 200 something pounds now. And I'm like a good 190. But now he just recently shrunk down to my weight. So we pretty much look the same now.
Mm,
okay. We're very competitive.
That's, yeah, no, that's the brotherly love. I understand exactly what you're saying. I have an older brother. You know, he's 2 years older than I am. And yeah, we would compete in like sports and so on and so forth. But I was always the heavier.
Gotcha.
Didn't mean I could beat him up or that, you know, it was like he could really take care of me. Even to this day, I'm so bigger than him, but like, nah, he's pretty fit. You know, he's always, he's always been in that type of lifestyle. And I've always admired him for that because at a young age, I was really, really heavy. You know, I was really heavy set. You know, that's when my fitness journey started. But we'll dive into that later. Sweet. Okay. Sweet. So yeah, I was saying we were checking out your YouTube, you know, and I was seeing that this is there's a page where you display your workouts, you and your fiance, you display your workouts, you know, and it's called
Kristen
Conquer.
Kristen Bailey, by the way, my fiance.
Shout out. She's in the room. Yeah. Thank you for being here, by the way. it's called Conquer King and Queen.
Yes.
I love that. And when did that start and why did you two decide to start that?
You want to come up here and say something?
Yeah. You can hand me the mic. Yeah, we could turn on a microphone.
Tell them how that came about.
Hit the switch right on the microphone there.
Go ahead. Always be ready. Go ahead.
I don't really know how it came about.
Okay. It came about because we were working out and together and everybody loves us in the gym that we were in. And I put it out there that if you guys would like to see us together, and they said yes. So I'm a firm believer of you give the people what they want.
Mm.
And we started showing our workouts. And
And there's this cute teenage girl there, too, when we used to go to Powerhouse. And she always, like, looked up to me and admired me working out and everything. And she always calls me. Every time she'll, like, post me and she'll be like, this is the queen. This is the queen. Like, everything.
And love it.
It just means a lot because it's younger crowd. And then, you know, to look up to you and I'm going to be 42. It's like, wow, that's pretty inspiring. So
inspiring people. And one of the things that is common between the theme of conquer and inspire is the word inspire, you know, and something that I've noticed about you, Damien, is that conquer is something that you hold very dear to your heart. Conquer is one of those words that keeps repeating itself. You know, what are you conquering?
Great question.
Thank you.
Conquering life.
Conquering life.
It's a struggle to live every day. I'm conquering doubt, self-doubt. I'm conquering fear. I'm conquering the unknown. And, you know, I'm conquering to make the right decision versus the wrong decision. You're conquering life. And when you conquer life, you inspire others at the same time. And with the script of my life, that's all I've been doing since day one, because my mother always said to me from birth, you're more than a conqueror. So that word always stuck to me. You know, I escaped near-death experiences. My physical beings of going through my scoliosis operations, my recently double hip replacements, numerous things that helps me continue to be who I am today. Numerous losses, numerous gains. It's all about conquering all of that to be victorious. And when you do so, you are a leader of your own self. You inspire others. My parents also used to tell me, be a leader, never a follower. So when you conquer that and conquer yourself, you are leading yourself. You're becoming a leader so others could follow to become leaders as well. And this is why every time after a session, I do this with each client. We slap 3 times. 3, 2, 1, conquer and inspire.
Love it.
Every time I look at them down the eye, conquer and inspire. Because I leave you with that, that you could conquer and inspire after the hour or half hour training with me.
Mm-hmm.
You still have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to conquer and inspire.
100%. I love that. I really do. And it's interesting that you say that after that hour and a half that you two have that mm-hmm. fitness, you know, that workout session, Cromie, Stephen Cromie.
Yes.
Shout out to you, Mr. Chrome
yes.
Dome.
Yes.
He mentioned the same thing. You know, it's about what you're going to do after that. You know, we are going to have that workout session. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that great time. But then after that, it's up to you, you know, because you can't be there all the time. You know, right. You can't harp on them to eat the right things. You can't harp on them to just make the right decision, you know, but you're trying to tell them to conquer life, conquer fear. I love that, man. That's absolutely beautiful.
Let me tell you something about him. And I'm not going to share too much. We worked together at the same gym for a brief moment of time. And he is a reminder of that. He is a reminder that time is so precious. When you're with someone within that time, you have to maximize that time with that person, which means invest seed into that person. I'm not going to share too much, but he was in a dark place when I was with him. And well, we had two moments together. I've known him when he was younger and he was in a darker place where he did some things towards me that was not cool.
Mm.
But I never called him out for it. I just said, okay, you're just like everybody else. Fine. I'm just going to keep doing me. And then we combined spirits again by meeting each other again and working again with each other. And I brought that up, or what he did. And then he told me why X, Y, and Z. And then we made up. But within that time, I could tell he was still wishy-washy. In that time and in that moment, I was still feeding him life. I was still saying things that could help him. I had to calm him down in certain moments when he went through certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left again. And then we reconnected online, and I see the change within him, that of the seeds that part of me dropped that now is blossomed to where he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell him every day, you know, I'm proud of you. What's so sad, this is what's so sad though about human nature, is I noticed when he was in the dark, he had a little bit more followers.
Okay.
A little bit more likes, a little bit more attention.
Mm.
But now that he changed his life for the better and just completely transformed, I see it in his comments that he doesn't get that same respect, that same love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with everybody. How when you transform yourself, whether you lose the weight that you've been trying to lose, that whether you got muscular, whether you just change, you became successful versus poor, nobody wants to deal with you anymore.
Mm.
They shy away. And I've noticed that. So every time he posts something spiritually, I'm always there. Blessings. You know, I'm proud of you. I used to always tell him that. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Even when he had his day, I said, look, don't F up this time.
Yeah.
Don't mess up this time.
Uh-huh.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. This is what goes back to conquering and inspiring is all about. Because you never know what your word, and that's what I always tell my kids, words are powerful. You never know. I don't know if the words that I used to tell him maybe manifested to where he is today.
Okay, yeah.
So what I want to share is while we're here in this lifetime, from the day you're born to the day you're in the ground, you have that time. What are you doing with your time? Are you feeding growth to other people? Or are you just being fake and, you know, being a shadow follower?
Gotcha. Gotcha. 100%.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So,
yes,
I've learned, as the more older I become, the more I realize that people are in your life for a reason. Drop that seed. And hey, look, I can't save everybody. My job is not to save everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm not Blade. I know I look like Blade. I'm not Blade. Okay. But I'm not here to save everybody. Not everybody's going to get saved. But at the same token, at least that person knew where I was coming from to drop that knowledge to yourself, to your soul. It was up to you to either take it, run with it, or do the opposite.
Agreed, 100%. I love the way you put that. And I've heard, you know, he openly admitted to me about those trials and tribulations that he dealt with and, you know, so on and so forth. And he was in a dark place and he's done a full 360 spin. Even people who went to high school with him, they're like, this is not the same man who I knew back then, you know. And he will constantly tell you that he used to do effed up stuff. He was just a bad dude, you know. And he was like, I just was bad, you know. And now he's just trying to flip the script and really try to reevaluate. I told him reevaluating and reinventing himself. You know, he's successfully doing that, in my opinion. And honestly, because of him, as of recent, in my terminology, my vocabulary, I've been using God bless you. You know, God bless, you know, because it is a blessing, you know, and that goes back to what we were saying earlier, to be alive, to be here. It's such a blessing, you know, whether or not you believe in spirituality, just realize that it's still a blessing at the end of the day to be here. Blessing doesn't have to do with religion.
No,
it's just to be blessed.
But anytime you transform yourself, anytime something changes, you'll lose people.
Yeah.
You'll lose people, but the real people that were with you 100% will cheer you on. Whether you have a new love, whether you came from, let's say, hey, you were always broke, and now you got out of debt and you showing it. Oh, I'm debt free now. Mm-hmm. I have a new car. People are going to hate.
Yeah, 100%.
But they were riding with you. They would say, oh, it's okay, when you would say, oh, I'm broke. Or, oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I'm so fat. I'm just going to starve myself. Everybody say, okay. But the minute you change, the minute you lose that weight and you're looking bad and you're showing selfies. Oh, why are you showing selfies? Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? Like, why you don't have to show your new love.
Yeah.
You don't have to show your new girl. You can keep it private. You know, it's... people love drama.
Yeah. 100%.
People love drama, and it's sad. And if you're not careful, you could get sucked into that. Cause I did.
Gotcha. We were talking about words, you know, words from earlier, you know, how important the words are that we use to talk to people, you know. And I was watching your videos, right? And from episode one to episode two, there was such a quick turnaround. I was like mind blown, because episode one, you know, you were describing how someone at the front desk didn't really greet, you know, didn't really greet good morning, have a good workout, and so on and so forth, like those. And you were mentioning that someone could be at the verge of a depression, ready to go home and do something terrible and unimaginable. And just because you may have not greeted them or said anything to them, it's over. You know, it's over like that. And from that video to the second video, you know, all of a sudden you're canceled. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was so mind blown, because I'm like, watching the video, you never not once mentioned a person's name.
Thank you.
You didn't mention what gym you were at.
Thank you.
you were just expressing yourself.
Thank you.
That's it. Yes. And for some reason, it came back and it bit you.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, you got canceled. You were kicked out of this gym. Is that? Yes. Would you care to explain that story? Maybe the ins and outs. You don't got to get in the nitty gritty. But
sure.
I just okay. Let's hear it.
Well, as a whole, customer service is dead. No matter where you go. 90% of everywhere you go, customer service is dead. Thanks to technology, thanks to social media, nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to do what they're supposed to do. They just want the accolades and the money, and they just want to stand around and not do anything. Mm-hmm. And the young are the worst. I get it. We're all young. But, you know, incompetence is incompetence. You shared what happened. Pretty much, look, I'm paying you for a service. I demand a service. If I'm paying for it. And yes, like I said, first off, one of my clients broke this down to me, which I never realized. The gym is like the biggest antidepressant.
Okay, yeah.
Because the majority of people in the gym are depressed or they went through some trauma. And I said, oh, wow, that's pretty good. I never realized that. So you don't know. I don't care how. I don't care if they look like She-Hulk. I don't care if they're huge. You don't know what. And also, the bigger they are, the more crap they have to go through mentally. I don't care who you are. Somebody could have just got laid off. Somebody could have just got their heart broken and they're still fit. You don't know what goes on with these people's lives outside. The minute they go in, they have to feel a reason, a main reason why you should be here for an hour or two. Why? Why do you care? It's all about caring. So if, look, America just realized his wife just left him right in the parking lot. And he's like, you know what? As opposed to me blowing my brains out, I'm going to go into this gym. Let's just work this out. I go into that gym and I'm thinking all of this. And then I see a group of kids just doing this, talking and not addressing me. I'm going to feel like something's going to tick in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm not acknowledged.
And because you're already in that bad state.
I'm already in that bad state. I'm not acknowledged as a human being. It's not just the gym. It's the same as a restaurant. It's the same as the movie theater. It's the same as the gas station. Everywhere you go, if you're in customer service, that's what you're supposed to do. Serve. Serve. It's the same as schools with teachers and kids. Serve. Because even with kids, you don't know if they're going through a domestic violence in their household and they have to come to school. They have to come to school. And if they see a teacher who don't want to be there, I mean, come on. This is all human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I got upset. Also because I used to work front desk. So I know the ins and outs of what we have to do and the responsibility we have to provide. I worked front desk. I've worked as almost a manager in other gyms. So I know the whole technicality of it. So you can't tell me, you can't beat around it. A great manager would say, this is what a great manager would say. I think I said it on the video. A great manager would say, look, this video stumbled upon me. You didn't mention our name. However, if this gym applies to us, first off, I apologize. Second, let's discuss and talk in the common ground on how we can make your experience better.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a great manager would do.
Agreed, 100%. And that's not what happened.
No, that's not what happened. I just got caught up conduct. All this, like, really?
Yeah.
And then what really, really made me mad, you canceled my wife. You know, that's personal.
Mm-hmm.
That's personal. You know, I can understand if it was just me, right? But you canceled her too. It's like, okay, now this is personal. So that's what happened.
That was, that's such an interesting video because from video one to video two, I really was not expecting for you to get canceled because you really did not, you know, call him out in any way, shape, or form. You were just expressing yourself. And that's why I was just like, that is a very intriguing and something that I would like to bring up. So thank you for sharing that. You know, customer service is important, you know, even when you go to the gas station, even if I'm not working there, hey, how are you? You know, how are you doing today? I'm doing well. Thank you. All right. Have a good day. You too.
Yes.
You know, that's it. That's it. It's I don't need your life story. I'm just going to say, have a good day. Thank you. You too. You know, so, and that just flew over that person's head and that just didn't come down. And it came down to that, to you being canceled as well as your wife, you know, and that's
all right.
Idiotic.
We were going to cancel anyway, because they opened up a gym 5 minutes away from us. So, hey, it's okay.
It was time. It was bound to happen.
It was bound to happen. So whatever. Shout out to Supersets.
Okay. So then I'm watching a few more of your videos and I realized as Chris was saying earlier that, you know, a lot of, so you guys were stating that not a lot of relationships and couples work out together. Mm. Okay. And then you two started working out together and, you know, you didn't want to toot your own horn there. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to toot your own horn there, but you did. And, you know, you were saying that ever since the two of you started working out, it seemed like more people were drawn to, relationships were drawn to working out together, you know, and you've gotten a positive feedback from other people, you know, that, listen, I love what you two are doing. Why do you think it is that most relationships just don't work out together? I think, to me, having a partner in a gym is definitely great to have to push.
Ego.
Okay.
It's the ego. It's don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to do. I don't want to do it this way. No, you can't lift this. No, screw you. You go over there. I'll go over there. Mm. You know?
Okay.
It's ego. Because I was like that years ago. And I was the person I was seeing at the time. I was young and I was very like hard. Go this way. And she was a complete opposite. Total complete opposite. So it didn't work. Mm. It's funny. I was telling my sons that if you're fit, if you're really, this is for fit people. And if you really want a fit woman, your first date should not be a dinner. First date should be a gym session. Because in a gym session, you'll get to see all her flaws. You'll get to see everything about them. You'll get to see if they're all about themselves. You'll get to see if they're in it with you to help you out. You'll see everything. And Kristen passed it because she was pretty much me in drag.
That's okay. Exactly what our first our first date was.
That was my follow up question.
It wasn't like actually a date. It was just a training session. I reached out to him for a training session, and that was my first training session. Mm-hmm. I had no idea it would turn into what we are now, but that's what it was. Our first training session, and yeah, I didn't know it was a test.
Yeah. And because I did things to see what would she do. Like, I struggled with a weight that was not too heavy, but not too light. And she was like, yeah, come on, get it up there. And she was really loud about it. Like, get it up. And then would spot me on it. I said, okay. She held it down. Because, you know, if they could do that there in front of everybody, they could do that behind closed doors.
Mm. Okay.
You know, and she's beautiful. She's great, easy on the eyes. Okay, that's a plus. So I wanted that, and among other things, and it just worked out. But getting back to the question, it's just this ego. It's this, well, it's me time. But I love it that we do it together, because that's another time. It's another time together. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas we are doing things that doesn't cost too much money. That it's not fancy, but it's time. Like I said, I'm going to keep saying this, from the day you're born to the day you're in the ground, what are you doing with your time? And our time is precious with one another. So if you have that time to spend with each other doing that, yes, it's greater. I mean, you're talking to a man that I was working out on my own for a while. Even when I was seeing another relationship, mm-hmm. they would come with me for a little bit, but then they would stop. And then it got to the point where it was just me, and I was all focused on me. But I love the fact that it's her and I, because we bring out the best mm-hmm. out of each other.
It's motivational too for each other, especially like if one of us is having a bad day mm-hmm. and like you want to go, but you don't really want to go, yeah. you know, just your partner like encouraging you and cheering you on all the time. And then it just kind of changes your mood. And it just makes it a lot easier, but I think that's something that it's important. Like it just helps both of you get a lot of stress out.
Yeah.
You know, mentally, like mental stress too, because sometimes like if you were fighting, like say if you got into an argument later on that day and like you still went to the gym and then you just worked out, you probably after that would sit there and be like, okay, look about earlier, blah, blah. You know, and it's just a way to relieve a lot of stress. But it's great being in a relationship when two of you are like the same person. Yeah, that also helps too. We're like exactly the same person.
Early on, it was tough because early on it was tough for me because I'm not used to having a 9 to 10, and to have all these dudes staring, I'll be like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, they would just stare, and, you know, because she's blessed in a certain area. And I would just be like, oh, just shoom. to the point where I called my twin brother because my sister-in-law is fit. They've been married for 18 years. I said, dude, how do you handle this? Because I never went through this. What do you do? How do you handle this? He was like, look, if they're constantly staring, just love her more in front of them.
Mm, okay, yeah.
Love her more. And then they'll look away. And that's what I do. And she gives the girls the evil eye.
Oh, I have evil eye.
Oh, yeah. She, her face starts shaking.
It depends. In the beginning, it was tough.
Yeah.
I would get more crazy about it. But I just really told myself how many times over and over, like, this is him. Like, this is who he is. And I'm kind of used to it now. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But, like not too long ago, this past summer, what does bother me is if you touch him. We were at Music Fest, and...
Oh, yeah.
Like, a couple of women, they came up and just touched his arms, like, touched them. Wow. And, like, I'm sorry. Like, literally, he knows my whole face changes. And it's just like, I will tack.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't care. Like, I'm okay. I'm chill with it now.
It's interesting that you bring up that point earlier about how if you two were having an argument before, right? Because I had another couple who was here. And, you know, we were just talking about working out, so on and so forth. And they mentioned they got into kickboxing because, you know, they were like, they wanted to train. And then every now and then they would get in an argument and then they didn't even talk about it. They go to kickboxing and after the fact be like, okay, let's talk. And it's very true, you know, because as you were mentioning earlier, antidepressant, the gym is an mm-hmm. antidepressant, you know, and mm-hmm. it's so true. It really is because like, you know, when you go through your stuff, I love the gym because I put my headphones on and it's just, I'm in the me time phase right now. Mm-hmm. You know, me, myself personally, I'm in the me time. This is me time. I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care who's watching. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to grow. I don't care. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to be on the bicycle, the treadmill, and you're going to see me go nuts. Like, headbanging, yes. You know, having a great time.
Me time.
And people are probably like, yo, this guy's nuts. He's probably going through it. And I'm like, nah, bro, I'm just loving myself right now.
Me time, which means you 20-something-year-old should not be working out in six or seven like you do with your broccoli haircuts and the like seven people on one bench. No, me time. You will not get your good workout that way. You guys look like cornballs, okay? No. At least one or two, and that's it. Not like six or seven, and you doing all this in the mirror,
yeah.
And flexing.
I see that often. I see that often as well. I like the broccoli haircut comment.
Because they all look the same.
I love it. I love it. So fitness for me, okay? I wanted to share a little mm-hmm. bit about me for you, okay? So fitness for me has, it's been a long way. And 7th or 8th grade, I was 185 pounds and 5'4", okay? Wow. And, no, it was definitely the 7th grade. 185 and 5'4", and I developed a heart murmur, okay? Mm. I developed a heart murmur, and I hated the doctors, mainly because they always told me that I was fat, and I always used to be like, listen, man, you look bigger than me. You tell me that I'm fat, you know? And Michael can attest to this. He's laughing in the back because he's seen me in those days where I was nice, and I used to say I'm roly-poly-oly, you know? Wow. Like, that's how I was. But listen, fitness for me, it changed. My life changed mainly because my mother made it change, okay? And I'm forever grateful for that. You know, I love my mom. And whenever my mom tells me that I'm gaining weight or I'm looking big, I respect her, you know, because I know that she knows what it means for my health. Because I didn't really get into sports until the 7th grade. I got into wrestling and football. Okay, so within that year, she changed up my whole diet. The whole family had to adapt to my diet, okay? My family is not obese at all. I was just very heavy, so I just ate a lot, and it was just like a stress coping mechanism for me. You know, okay. I just ate a lot. I remember one time she caught me sneaking Chips Ahoy cookies into my bedroom. Yeah, while we were doing this, you know, I got to lose my weight because it was crazy, man. It was really, I was crying. Like, it was bad. It was bad. And thinking back to those days, like, I'm forever grateful for it because... Within that year, I went from 185 to 140, okay? I slimmed down tremendously, you know, because of the diet, because of working out, wrestling, football. Kudos to wrestling. I loved wrestling, and that was really a big part of it. And my heart murmur actually subsided, left. It was gone, okay? But if I kept down that path, I was going to end up having diabetes, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just know that I can never go back to that spot ever again, you know? So now I started the gym again in the the end of November, beginning of December. Okay. I was not really working out, but I'm active. I'm an HVAC mechanic. I'm always walking around. I'm climbing buildings, so on and so forth. but I wasn't working out and I felt myself gaining weight. My waist was getting bigger. You know, I seen it in the shirts that I was wearing. Now I'm wearing, you know, extra larges that are tight, you know, and they're usually not that tight. So I started the gym at 218 pounds. Okay. Mm-hmm. Started the gym at 218 pounds. And this is the beginning of December, end of November. And this Saturday, I left the gym at 198 pounds.
Nice.
Okay. Nice. And my goal was to always get under 200. Okay. And I always said, let's just get under 200. And if we get it there, let's just keep going. You know, so that's what I love to do with fitness and everything like that.
How old are you?
I'm 25. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 198. I'm feeling great. I look around. I'm like, how am I single? Like how? Like it's a common question I ask myself like weekly.
That's your choice.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, what's going on here?
Hey, the right one will come along.
I agree. But the grind doesn't stop. You know, you see. So I choose to go back to the gym. My mother healthy. Okay, and then obese. So obesity. Ready? This is a really great question. I can't wait to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have this group chat, a friend on Instagram with a bunch of my friends, and a question was posed. And the question was, do you think obesity is genetics? And the reason the question was posed was because, are you familiar with the show 60 Minutes?
60 Minutes?
Yes.
The one on Channel 2, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 60 Minutes did a 60-minute interview, and they are claiming that obesity is genetics. How do you feel about that statement?
No. Do I believe some genetics are higher than others? Yes. But why is it America is the only nation that has obesity? Everywhere else doesn't. So, no, I don't agree with that. Obesity. I was going to say obesity is a choice. But you know what? There's certain factors that come into play because I feel a lot of these doctors are medicating people the wrong way. A lot of these medications are carrying a lot of water, a lot of steroids, which makes them obese. I was talking to a client that I train off and on the other day who's like that, who I could tell when I do see her, I'm like, wow, she's retaining more water. I said, are they giving you more drugs? She was like, yes. I said, why don't you just get off it?
Mm.
Take a day where you just get off it just to see how your body is. Because obviously what they're giving you is not working. And this is years. She's 51 years old. She looks like she's 70. And she's obese. And it's just she's just like a water balloon. And I'm like, this is not working. They keep giving you stuff for antidepressant, anxiety, sleep. Oh, this doesn't work. Okay, well then try this. Well, this doesn't work. Well then try this. Mm-hmm. And try this. And try this. And try this. And this is what's happening in America today is they're drugging us all these things to make us blow up like this. And it's like, and she works out 4 days a week. So I'm like, okay, get rid of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I can't say obesity is a choice, because you do have doctors that are just fueling these people these drugs. Now, on the flip side of that, that's when I say, yes, it's a choice. Because one, no one's born obese.
Thank you.
No one is born obese. No one, it's the same way no one is born a criminal. These are steps. These are baby steps that leads to progression. It's like fitness, progression, overload. It's the same thing with life. If you keep calling a kid fat from 3 years old up, he is going to be what you call him all day, every day, fat. If you call a kid shy, oh, he's just shy. He's just shy from 3 years old up. What is he going to be? Shy, because that's what he heard. This is why I say words matter. So obesity, that's something that you decided because Aunt Susie said you were a fat so-and-so because you were just a kid and you were hungry. So you decide to keep eating out of emotion because you keep hearing Aunt Susie's words over and over and over again. Next thing you know, you're fat at 35 years old. But what's worse now is America is telling you it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
America is saying it's okay to embrace this body positivity. I was just talking this to my wife the other day. You never see a 90-year-old fat person.
Well, there's 9-year-old fat people.
90. 90.
Oh, I thought you said 9-year-old. No,
90.
No, that's 90. Very true.
You never see anybody obese at 90 years old or at even 85, 90 or 95. They're not obese because they're dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, I knew you were alluding they're to dead. That. I knew you were alluding to that. Yep.
You know, I hate this body positivity culture. I can't stand it because it falls into victimhood 101. Victimhood 101. And I'm not a firm believer of that. This is why I can't watch The Whale, that movie.
I haven't seen that one.
I just can't watch The Whale. I was having this convo with my son the other day. I'm like, I just can't watch it. I props to Brendan Fraser for winning that Oscar. But and then I heard the stuff, the underlying things in the movie that I heard about that I'm like, oh, I'm definitely not going to watch it. One is I heard it was anti-God. And two, I heard that he doesn't change in the movie. So not giving any spoilers out or whatever. And I know what happens at the end. So it's like, why would I want to watch that? Mm-hmm. It's gluttony. At the end of the day, it's gluttony. You can't spice it up. You can't make it look cute. It's not, it doesn't show strength. It's not independence. It's not beautiful. It's what it is. Gluttony. You're never happy walking up a flight of stairs.
That's going to be
You're fun, never man. Happy sitting on a couch and you're not even asleep. That's not happiness.
No.
And you damn sure ain't happy if you can't see that.
Yes,
and
sir.
You have to roll it up to.
Yeah.
That's not happiness. It's not. So we need to tell our young kids, we need to educate our young kids on what to eat, how to eat. Everything is in moderation. I don't believe in starving yourself. But at the same token, you know, look at your body like a car. If you fuel bad gas in it all the time, your car is not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fuel it with great gas and you clean it outside, inside, take care of it, it's going to work for you. So, no, I do not believe that's genetics.
I agree with you 100%.
Now, getting back to you, because I was listening to your story with your family, because I was going to ask you if your family was fit or if they were in shape, and they said you were the only one. Now, that could have been a genetic. What was your grandparents like?
They're not obese. They're like moderate.
Okay,
I'd
what's
say
your
they're
nationality?
Moderate. Salvadorian.
Okay, so that because that matters too with the races. That's a whole other topic for another day. And you said seventh grade. Now, also with boys, because we have a couple, with boys, we have this period. Certain boys have this period of, and it happens between the ages of, I would say, 8 to like maybe 14, 15, where genetically, they may go through that fat stage because they're containing so much fat and the puberty.
Mm-hmm.
The puberty hormones are mixing in. So you may think your kid is going to be fat, but really he's just growing into what genetically he's supposed to be. The problem with that is parents just say, oh, he's fat. Let me just give him whatever. Just let him be. No.
Yeah, it's
no,
not
no,
good.
No. Because I could tell when I look at a kid that, okay, he's really going to be obese. Or I could tell, okay, he's going through puberty right now. He's going through puberty. And then he's growing. He's morphing. His big cheeks will eventually turn into chiseled. Eventually in time. I could tell when a kid is going to be tall. I could tell when they're going to be, you know, slim at a certain point. Because that's just the puberty things of boys and girls too. Girls today, now they're getting more developed early on. They're getting their periods early on, younger than 8 or 9 years old. So, you know, it's for as a parent, we really have to pay attention what we tell our kids and how we educate our kids on that so we won't destroy their self-esteem. Because around that age, thank God for your mom because she could have easily destroyed your self-esteem and called you what you looked like. And that would have destroyed you for life.
May I interrupt for a minute here? It's very interesting because you were talking about how if you tell someone that they're fat, they're going to become fat. If you tell them they're shy, they're going to become shy. Ironically, my nickname in the family was Gordito. Okay. Gordito is mm-hmm. fat, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And even still to this day, I'm still gordito. And it's not even that I'm big. It's just that I've always been the bigger one out of the brothers, you know? My little brother, he's taller than me. He weighs more than me, but he's taller than me. And he's pretty fit. My older brother, I'm sorry, that was my younger brother. My older brother, he's fit. He's shorter than me, but he's definitely stocky and short. You know, he's always built. And I want to show you a photo mm-hmm. of when I was back then at 185 pounds and just see what your thoughts are. I think that'd be a very fun
185 show. Is big because that's what I normally weigh as an adult. But now I'm a little 190, but 185, I get it. That's a kid. Whoa.
Yeah, bro.
Huge.
It was bad. My family's not obese. My mother, you know, she does have like blood pressure problems. That's the only thing. Other than that though, we're all pretty in pretty decent shape, moderate, you know. We're not.
I will also suggest to you to tell your family not to call you that anymore.
Okay.
Because I had to do that with my family, for my own. Because when they as an adult still call you something that they used to call you as a child, it still means they see you as a child.
Okay.
And I understand mothers and with their boys.
Grandmas, especially
in the Spanish culture, because mm-hmm. my son is Puerto Rican, half Puerto Rican, and he gets it from his family. You know, it's that whole, well, this is my baby, this is my boy. And even in the Black culture too. But, you know, I had to remind my mom not too long ago. I'm like, look, we're not the boys anymore. We're men.
Mm-hmm. We're men. Me, baby.
We're men. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With my own family, you know? So stop saying, oh, it's going to be me and the boys and the boys, the boys. No. Because then a boy, you know, you're not seeing me as who I am. And I understand you may intentionally, they may not think that, but they have to be reminded, you know? Mm-hmm. They have to be reminded of certain things that, okay, at a certain age, you could call me that. But now, look, I'm not this anymore. Respect me as such. And as men, I know you have to instill that and remind some folks. Like, look, I'm not that anymore. And it's okay.
Yeah.
And then, well, let them.
No, I agree with you 100%.
It's all leads to self-validation.
I agree with you.
Most men today don't have.
It's funny that you mentioned that because most recently my older brother came up from the military and I didn't go over to the family dinner before he left, but that's because I was doing what I was doing as an mm-hmm. adult. My mom was really upset about it and he had to tell her, like, Mom, Kevin has his own life. Like, mm-hmm. he has the podcast going on. He has this going on. Like, he's busy. It's not that he doesn't want to be here.
Right.
It's just that he's busy, you know, and it was good for him to tell her that because then she finally understood that it wasn't that I didn't want to be there. It's that I really couldn't be. I can't just drop what I'm doing at the stop like on a dime and just go and do what I have to do, you know. So that's a good point that you bring up. Listen, we're gonna get close here to the end, but there's so much more we still have to talk about. You know, I wanted to talk about your acting before we get off here.
Okay
that's
sure.
for sure. So, you know, you're an actor, and you have definitely a better profile than the previous actor who I've had on the podcast. So much respect to you and that other actor, my friend. Dude, my friend said he went on the Broadway and didn't know what shows he did.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. Okay. What's that?
He was high?
I don't know what. No, he was sober. Yeah, he was sober. Oh, yeah.
Okay. How could you not know?
Exactly.
If it was real.
It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
It wasn't. And, you know, back then I was like always trying to highlight people and I was still like building my platform. And then it was that moment. He was like the turning point. I was like, nah, he just shit on my platform.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, yeah, because it's like I should have called him out.
Is it still up?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to check.
Yeah, it's still up. So it's still up.
See this.
Every episode.
I don't know him.
Every episode is still up. I'm sure you don't.
No. I've been in the game since 1992. Okay. I've done many things. Stuff that I haven't even seen. I've done many television. I was just seen on FBI recently. I've done some off Broadway. I'm the real deal. The only thing I haven't done is sing on Broadway because I can't sing. So, but I've made my own film. It's a feature called Gang Girl. Did it with my own money. It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on YouTube. It's on Tubi. Did that 13 years ago.
Did you direct that?
Yeah.
Really? I wrote it as well.
That's a story in itself.
Let's hear it.
Oh.
No, this is cool. Let's hear it.
Okay, so to be real brief, that was based on a play that I made because it was a certain moment in my time in my life where I created my own play. So I was active for a while, and then I just said, you know, I want to do my own stuff. So I created my own plays, and out of that play, I made a play about gang life. And I wanted to venture into film because I figured, well, plays don't make money. Film does, and film is everlasting. Film is forever. So I changed my story around, and it was a modernized version of Paul the Apostle. And I put it in today's time with gang life, but I made it all female. So I made it about female gangs because that was at the time a topic no one was discussing. So fast forward, because it's a long story. You could do an episode on that because it's like literally Francis Ford Coppola stuff, like Apocalypse Now stuff, because I went through the gutter and back with film. I used my own money. At the same time, I was training. I was training for Equinox, used my own money. Hired actors, DP. It was a guerrilla filmmaking film to the point where I had to literally shoot it myself because the DP dropped out because he was going through some issues in his family. I had to literally direct with the camera. I forget what it was called, Panasonic. Oh, man, this is a while ago. But it was like the top-notch camera. He let me hold this camera for a whole year. Filmed it for like good 4 or 6 months. Long story short, it got picked up by a distributor, and it's out, and till this day, still has an audience.
What an accomplishment.
On YouTube. And I didn't know this until somebody told me, yo, people are still watching your movie. I was like, really? I can't really watch it now, because my son, who's Mr. Spielberg now,
yeah,
as a filmmaker, because look, I have a great eye, and I showed him. He has a greater eye now, which is great. He gives him my movie now, so I can't watch it. I can't watch it, because he's like, yo, Dad, why'd you do this? I was just like, you know, whatever. So now I can't watch it. But I did that, and I did another film called The Big West. That was a semi-autographical movie about, it was based on my life, about an actor trying to be like Wesley Snipes. That's on YouTube as well. But it's a long story where I did my own web series. I did a film on Tupac, short film on Tupac. There's about two, and then that led to me playing him on the stage, and then I got burnt out because I got a divorce, and all the talent just went, and I haven't wrote anything since. And my son has been on me forever, and like, Dad, you gotta write, you gotta get back. But I have no excuse. Life is life, so it's just a matter of, okay, I have to sit down and just do it, right? Do it, whatever. He's doing it. He's about to crowdfund for his first film. I think he's posting that up tomorrow, actually. He's about to do his first short film, but like his own, not outside of the school. So I'm proud of him with that. He's way better than me, which is supposed to be. He's in New York Film Academy right now. I think he's in his last year. But he was like, yo, Dad, even with my film, he was like, Dad, you should make this like Netflix. Like, put it on Netflix, like make it like a Netflix series. I said, I know, son. I said, you can write it. He's like, no, Dad, I'm too busy. I was like, okay, whatever. But in time, I will get back.
Love it, man. I love it. So that's something I didn't know about you. I didn't know that you wrote a film.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I would love to see it. So
yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
Awesome. And you're starring in it, or are you just directed
it? I'm in the beginning, but I'm not the lead. His mother's the lead.
Oh.
My ex-wife is the lead actress.
And that's why he can't watch it.
Sorry. No, I can still watch it because I could appreciate it of what I did with what I have.
Gotcha.
You know, as long, I think Stanley Kubrick said it best. If you could see it in your head, you could film it. If you could see it in your head, you could film it. Whether you have money or not, if you can see it here, you can film it. And it doesn't matter what kind of, it does matter, but it doesn't matter what kind of camera you have, especially now because you got all these technology, the iPhones and so forth. If you can see it in your head, you can make anything. You guys have great, this is the era right now where you could do pretty much everything and anything with pennies. versus what I had to go through, and I had to get the money, and I had to beg and ask to use this location. I had to use, you don't even have to use and have a big set. Mm-hmm. Hello. You know, you don't even have to have a huge, big set anymore. You could just, as long as you could tell the story. And Spielberg said it best. If you could tell a story with the volume off, you did your job.
Mm, okay. Yeah,
did
no.
Did your job. So, and I believe I did that. But, you know, life. So, I'll get back to it, because a lot of people don't know that about me. That I, besides the fitness, they don't know the other side, which is the acting and the filmmaking. So, it's a whole sum of talent it's that God two has blessed of you. Me with. Yeah.
Yep. It's yeah. the other side of you.
And then the drawing. So, yeah.
And earlier, you know, we were talking about the movie posters I have here. I mentioned that Interstellar was my favorite movie. You mind me asking what one of your favorite movies are?
Okay. I have five.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I have five. I think the flawless movie of all time is The Godfather. That's just perfect. That's number one. Number two, Citizen Kane. Number three, West Side Story, the old one. But the remake was good, too. Holy crap. The remake was really, really good. For Apocalypse Now, I love everything about that movie and what Coppola went through. I think that movie is just perfect. My number five is a tie between Rocky, which I think is the best franchise ever. No, I have three on number five. So Rocky, Taxi Driver.
Oh, that's a great movie.
And yeah, and The Joker is really much a reboot of that. And what was the last one I said, Rocky? Oh, Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing. Yeah. Okay.
So those, I think, like the top flawless films. Now, if it's something current, everybody loves. I'm looking at Nolan. Everybody loves The Dark Knight. I think The Dark Knight Rises is way better. On all levels, way better to me, because it's very spiritually motivated. It's deeper. But that whole franchise, the Nolan franchise, is so great.
Nolan's the man.
Nolan, I think he's one of the best filmmakers out right now. My son loves Damien Chapa.
Never heard of him.
That's, if I'm saying his last name. No, I'm saying his last name wrong. Damien, I forget his last name. The guy that made La La Land. And,
Do you know him, Mike?
Whiplash. Yes, Whiplash, La La Land, and what else he made? He just made Babylon that nobody saw. That's my son's favorite filmmaker. I haven't seen La La Land, but he swears up and down that it's right.
Well, Damien, we're...
Chazelle. Yes, thank you. Chazelle.
We are at the end of the podcast here. We're going to transition into tea time in a few minutes here. Okay. But before we get on tea time, you know, I like to give the floor to my guests to you to let out any positive messages, anything that you feel that people really need to hear before you get off the air. The spotlight is yours, my friend. Have at it.
Follow me on Instagram, Damien Bailey Fitness. YouTube, Damien Bailey Fitness. Acting page. What is my acting page? Oh, Damien Bailey Actor on Instagram. I'm on TikTok, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Conquer 1976. And what else? That's it. I'm on Facebook, but y'all don't want to hear me on Facebook. I talk too much on Facebook.
So what is it you do with your clients when you're done? You do the three claps, a fist bump, and a conquer, right?
Three, two, one, conquer and inspire.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Make sure you stick around for Tea Time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out.
What does that make you? That makes me the middleman.
Thank you.
I'm the middleman.
What is Tea Time?
All right. I know what you're thinking. Kev, seriously? Another ad? Are you serious, bro? But listen. If you're enjoying this conversation, you really want to listen to this ad, okay? Listen, I got good news for you. We have exclusive bonus content strictly on YouTube after this podcast with the same guests, right? Check this out. And this segment is called Tea Time, right? Now, Tea Time is not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. So that's right. Do yourself a favor. Go out there, buy yourself an Arizona Iced Tea, and join us strictly on YouTube for extra bonus content on Tea Time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you there. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.